The United States of America is the world's wealthiest nation, yet many of its citizens are going to bed hungry every day because they can't afford to feed themselves adequately. This is a paradox that many Americans might find hard to believe, but as Susie Hodges has been finding out, there is now a worrying growth in the numbers of hungry people living in this land of plenty.
Street urchins were commonplace in the West during the 19th century when Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist. But most people now would believe that in the world's wealthier nations at least, hunger is a thing of the past. But that's not the case. It may take different forms, but hunger and food insecurity is a current day problem that dogs many people living in the US. And it appears to be getting worse. Food insecurity is defined as not always having access to enough food to meet basic needs. And statistics show that 38 million people in the US live in homes marked by food insecurity. In addition, reports from around the nation show that requests for emergency food aid have risen by over 10% in the past few years. So what is causing so many people to fall into the hunger trap in the US? A question I put to Kathy Curin of the U.S. Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Well, it's hard to pin down exactly why, but there are many factors. One is persistent unemployment or underemployment. That factor is frequently cited by the people who visit the food banks. Either they can't find a job or they have a job that doesn't give them enough hours or pay them enough wages. Other problems include the other kinds of costs that families have to incur, whether it's housing costs. And housing costs are very expensive in many parts of the United States. Costs for health care, if they don't have insurance or of their own private insurance, or if they make a little bit too much money for the federal Medicaid health care program, so they're completely on their own for their health care costs, that can really eat away at a family's income. Single working moms, for example, are going to have high child care costs, so that's another bite at the income of the family. Utility costs, transportation costs, for low-income families, operating just around the level poverty levels, all of these costs are, of the household are things that take money away from their ability to buy food.
Although food insecurity is a more common problem than actual hunger, there is a significant segment of people that sometimes cannot afford to put enough food on the table for them and their families.
Of those 12% of households that are food insecure, about a third of those are considered to be food insecure with hunger. So in those households, you do have an instance, not every week or every night, but you do have people who one or two or three or four or more times a year will find themselves basically going to bed hungry at night. Now, the data is collected on the basis of households, as I just said, so it's hard to know exactly to boil that down into individuals. But we know that about 38 million people live in those 12% of households that are food insecure. And we know that about 10 million people live in the subset of those households that are food insecure with hunger.
It seems incredible, as you say, though, that in the world's richest country, there is this underbelly of hunger.
I think it's definitely a challenge to us in the United States to continue to address the problems that create situations that people find themselves facing hunger. We need to do more to address problems of unemployment. We need to do more to make sure that people who do work have living wages that, on which they can sustain their families.
Fairfield in Connecticut is the U.S.'s richest county. But even here, there are people that are sometimes going without enough to eat. One person who has seen at first hand the plight of such people is Al Barber, who is director of Catholic Charities in Fairfield, that runs two soup kitchens to help feed the needy.
It's surprisingly serious. We have the wealthiest county in the United States, a tough place to be poor, and we serve in excess of 600,000 meals a year, which is up every year by 10 to 12%.
Why is it going up?
For two reasons. One is that there is just a growing group of working poor, chronically ill, people who need the help and know learn about us and know that we will take care of them. And then there's a growing immigrant population that is trying to make life better for themselves, and they forego food and come to us.
But is there any shame attached to the concept of having to go to a soup kitchen to get fed? No way, says Al.
When people are hungry, I don't think pride gets in the way of their willingness to come to us. A brief story, I have a very well-dressed individual at one of our soup kitchens who greeted me when I was there one day, was very pleased we were able to help him, and over the holidays gave us $100 because he'd eaten at the soup kitchen so many times. So it is a balanced, our guests, as we like to call them, have a great deal of pride in what they do, but realize this is something they need for some period of time.
Al says many people in Fairfield are not even aware of these hidden pockets of hunger in their affluent county.
Many are initially incredulous. Many do not see it. They don't necessarily understand it. But as soon as it's brought to light, as soon as they visit a soup kitchen or a food pantry, as soon as we give them the statistics behind it and why it is what it is, they are very generous and very helpful. As I said, the 500 to 600 volunteers who are in our operations on a regular basis and have done it for years certainly get an awful lot out of it. So by participating in the process, whether it be by giving food or giving a cash donation or volunteering, there's much to be received.
The immense gratitude of those receiving the meals at the soup kitchens is a tonic for them all.
This is one of the great blessings of my job. I came out of the corporate world. I worked for General Electric for 30 years. And doing this for the last 2 years, I've gotten great satisfaction out of meeting many of our clients. They often have a big smile on their face, thank us profusely for what they do, engage us in conversation about their lives. Rarely, if ever, do they do anything but thank us, thank the Lord, feel that they are blessed in this situation.
In his first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, Pope Benedict stressed the importance of charity, and Al says this document has had a strong impact on their work.
Well, it's interesting because Bishop Lori, in talking about the encyclical, said it was the charter for Catholic Charities. And everything that Catholic Charities does is service-based for the needy, for the less fortunate, for those who just need a hand in some way. And it can be counseling or it could be food or housing. And the response of the Catholic laity, the response of churches of all kinds and individuals, regardless of their faith, has been outstanding. We can always do more. In our senior nutrition program, we only reach about 3% of the population that needs help, but we're still the largest out there. So more to be done, but the generosity of all of the people, whether it be the church and the bishop or the lay people, is very, very, very heartwarming.
Donning an apron to serve food to the hungry at their soup kitchens is a job that Al and the local bishop have both done. And, as he tells us, it was a joyful and uplifting experience.
The bishop and I actually had a wonderful experience around the holidays. We went by to visit one of our soup kitchens, and we tried to visit all of our operations during the year. And when we got into the soup kitchen, they were light on volunteers, and they threw aprons on us, and we served the entire meal. And the reaction of the people was extraordinary. But one particular moment was humorous and just brought the day to light. We were serving hamburgers and carrots and French fries. And the bishop was serving the carrots. And people came by and thanked him. And he went to put carrots on a fellow's plate who said, "No, thank you, Your Excellency. I don't eat carrots." And the bishop said, "Neither do I. I really don't like them." And everybody got a chuckle out of that. So in the sadness and the difficulty of some of our operations is humor and is really kind of that uplifting spirit that is so crucial to the needy and vulnerable of the world.
Those of us who are more fortunate can all gain so much from helping those in need. And that's an important message that Al cannot stress enough.
I have never been to a soup kitchen where there weren't a tremendous mix of people, all of whom really did need and enjoy what was happening there. And it changes, the faces change every day. And as I've said many times, what you see there are the faces of Jesus. When these people are fed, it is clear that they, by their actions or their words, are very touched by it and very thankful. We who help can appreciate what we have to a much greater degree because of our ability to do this for them.
Susie Hodges talking there to Al Barber, Director of Catholic Charities in Fairfield, and Kathy Curran of the U.S. Catholic Campaign for Human Development.